الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ما جاء في الشتم بالزنا. The chapter with regards to that which has come related to cursing someone and he calling them bad names by way of fornication. It has preceded a few chapters back. The author, he mentioned the issue with regards to قَذْفِ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ, to falsely accusing the innocent Muslim women of fornication, and the issues that were related to that likewise has proceeded with regards to al-qadhf, and that is a major sin to accuse a believer of fornication without any evidence. So this chapter here is similar, except Allah knows best, and the author is intending here those who use this as a means of cursing the people, yani cussing them out and calling them bad names, not necessarily intending to accuse them of this foul deed and of this great crime of fornication, but rather to belittle them and to defame them and to talk bad about them and to cuss them out and in this manner by using this word or this term or this reference. Babu ma ja'a fi shatmi bizina, the chapter with regards to that which has come about a shatam yani a sab, to curse somebody out and to cuss them out and to call them bad names in their face. This is called a shatam or a sab. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned sibab al-muslim fusuq, to curse out a Muslim in his face, and to curse out a Muslim in his face, calling him bad names, you are this and you are that, or speaking ill of his family and the likes like this. All of this is from those great sins. But here it's more severe because what he is being accused of now is fornication. It's fornication, and there's a specific ruling with regards to that. Yani that this is a major crime. But likewise, yani if a person, he said to another individual that he was a fornicator or that his mother was a fornicator, and he's saying this not necessarily to accuse him, but rather just to find fault with him and to defame him, to talk bad about him. One of them will say, for example, Ya ibn fa'ila, like this, oh, you're the son of a fornicator, meaning that yani he's coming from a foul lineage, to defame him and to belittle him. Yarmihi bi ummihi. He will talk bad about him and he will defame him and speak ill of him by accusing his mother of fornication in this manner like this. So this is a foul way. And this is wallahu a'lam, what is obvious from the intent of the author here, and Allah knows best. So he says, أَنَّ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا مَنْ قَذَفَ مَمْلُوكَهُ بِالزِّنَا يُقَامُ عَلَيْهِ الْحَدُّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ كَمَا قَالَ. The author, he mentioned the narration of أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا, meaning that it's from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said that whoever accused his slave of fornication, then the legal punishment will be established against him on the day of resurrection, except if the case is as he mentioned. And this is the issue with regards to making a qadhaf, or accusing a slave, someone who is a slave, accusing him of committing fornication. The one who accused him of that, if his master accused him of that or called him that name and the likes like this, then the legal punishment will not be established against him in this life, and Allah knows best. But it will be established against him in the hereafter, because on the day of resurrection there is no more slaves nor free men. Rather, all of them are slaves in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and nothing will separate the people on that day except for at-taqwa. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, that indeed the most noble with you among with Allah, that indeed the most noble with you, the most noble amongst you with Allah, is the one who has the most piety. So on the day of resurrection there will not be any status or rank except by way of piety, and the people, they will be recompensed according to their deeds. According to their deeds. So the one who falsely accused his slave of fornication in this life, then the legal punishment and the retribution and the rights will be given back on the day of resurrection, and that will be established. Except if it was as he had mentioned. Except if it was as he had mentioned. So the one who calls somebody this name and he accuses him in this manner, then if he used the word that is direct, like if he said, yeah, zani, like this, or who was zani, like that, or he is zania, or he said to a woman, yeah, zania, like this, a word that is clearly direct and it means fornication, then if he's taken to a Muslim court and he did not bring the proof and the evidence for what he claimed, then the legal punishment will be established against him. Then the legal punishment will be established against him. As for if he had brought another word that has that meaning, or it carries the meaning of fornication, but likewise it could be used with another meaning as well. Some terms, maybe they have the meaning of fornication, but it's not direct. And some people may use that particular term, yani, in order to defame others, and they do not mean by way of that, yani, fornication. And some words are like that, even the word fajir. Sometimes the word fajir, it could mean any the one who committed fornication. The one who committed fornication. Or it could just have the similar meaning as fasiq. Yani the one who was an open sinner. And the one who was a corrupt and evil person known for sin. So in the case like this, and these terms that are not direct, the people of Nahr has mentioned that the one who said that, if he's taken to court for that in front of a Muslim judge, then he will be tested in his intention. And he'll be asked what he meant. From those terms, likewise, ahir. Well, maybe one will say, yeah, ahir. And this one, likewise, it has the meaning of, yeah, saying, yeah, zani, calling somebody a fornicator. But also it has another meaning as well, which is general, like, yeah, fajr, or yeah, fasiq. So in this case here, the Muslim judge, he will seek details. He will seek details. And some of the youth, or those who have loose tongues, maybe they will use the likes of these terms and think nothing of it. Calling each other, yani maybe he's joking around with his friend, ya ahir, or ya fajir, or the likes like this, or he's ya bna fa'ila, like this, or anta fa'il, like this, yani awzani, saying the likes of these words, yani joking with his friend, cursing his friend out, or calling his friend bad names, not necessarily meaning that intention, but this is something that is major, and this is not allowed, and this is not allowed. Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was asked about this affair. And it was said to him, بَعْضُ السِّغَارِ يُطْلِقُ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ يَا عَاهِرِ, that some of the youth, some of the young ones, they say to each other, يَا عَاهِرِ, يَا عَاهِرِ, يَا عَاهِرِ, yani meaning, oh, you fornicator, or oh, you wicked evil person. It could have both meanings. So the Shaykh, he said, يَا عَاهِرِ مَعْنَاهُ يَا زَانِي. He said in response to this, the one who says, oh, عَاهِرِ, this means that you're saying, oh, fornicator. Either Noah bihi kadhfan, if he intended by that accusing him of fornication. If he intended by that accusing him of fornication, then this is what this word means. He said, either Noah hadha, if he intended that. In lam yanwi shay'an yus'al an niyatihi. In kana qasduhu zina fa huwa qadhif. Alayhi haddul qadhf. Illa an ya'fu al maqdhuf. When kana arada shay'an akhar, ahir yani arada annahu fasiq. أو مثل هذا أو أنه يكتاب الناس أو بذيء الكلام أو ما أشبه ذلك إذا أراد شيئا آخر فعلى نيته فعلى نيته. So Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned that this word, it means أو عاهر, it means أو fornicator, if the person intended to accuse him of fornication, and if he intended that. And as for if he did not make this intention, then he will be asked, what is your intention? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by saying that term? If he intended fornication, then he will be held accountable and he will be treated as the one who was falsely accusing somebody of fornication without evidence or without proof, and he will receive the legal punishment of that, unless the individual who is accused pardons him. And if he intended something else, Shaykh Ibn Baz, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, if he intended something else, ahir, yani annahu arada fasiq, meaning that he's ahir, meaning he's a corrupt and wicked or evil person, or he is somebody known for backbiting the people, or he is somebody who has a foul and lowly tongue, or the likes like this. He's calling him ahir with this intention, meaning he's the likes of these individuals, or he intended something else. This is all going to be based upon his intention. So the questioner now, he's going to verify what was just mentioned. He says, "Yani yarji'u ila niyyah." You mean this affair here goes back to the intention? And the shaykh, he says, "Na'am." The shaykh, he said, "Yes." So the likes of these terms that carry that meaning and also could be and also could carry another meaning, then this term here would go back to the intention of a person, and he would be made to swear about that. So if he swore by Allah Azza wa Jalla that his intention was this or that, then that would be accepted, as we have seen. In any case, this is a major sin, as the author he is mentioning here, to curse the people out by calling them names, especially the name of a fornication and the likes like this. The author, he says, بَابُ النَّهِي عَنْ تَسْمِيَةِ الْفَاسِقِ سَيِّدًا. Now the author, he mentions the chapter with regards to the prohibition of calling a fasiq, a sayyid, of calling the fasiq sayyid. The fasiq, I need to clarify, the people of knowledge, they mention, هُوَ مَنْ خَرَجَ عَنْ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَطَاعَةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. فَالْفِسْقُ أَوْ الْفُسُوقُ هُوَ الْخُرُوجُ عَنْ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَطَاعَةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This is the meaning of al-fisq or al-fusuq. Meaning that a person, he would leave the obedience of Allah and His Messenger. Meaning he would fall into disobedience. He would disobey the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal by falling short in performing the obligations, or by perpetrating and violating the prohibitions that are mentioned in the Quran or in the authentic Sunnah. In this manner, he has left the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the case of the fasiq. And the people of hadith, they mention al-fasiq, من ارتكب كبيرة أو أصر على صغيرة. That the one who is considered a fasiq here, which is in the title, the one who is considered a fasiq, he's the one who perpetrated and committed a major sin. And it's not known that he repented from that. So the one who committed one of these crimes here in this book so far that we have studied, or any of the major sins, and he's somebody who has fallen into these affairs and he did not repent from that, he will be considered a fasiq. He would be considered, or she would be considered a fasiq in this manner. Or likewise, somebody who is being persistent upon minor sins. Maybe he did not commit a major sin, but he is upon minor sin that he's persisting upon that. And the people of knowledge, they mention al-israr al-sagira yusayyiruha kabiratan. That to persist in performing the minor sins, this turns that minor sin into a major sin. Because it's as if the person, he's thinking that this is something light, or he's taking it to be like it's nothing, and he's persisting and continuing upon this way. So the people of knowledge, they say, لا صغيرة مع الإصرار. The terms like this, there's no minor sin so long as a person is persisting and continuing upon the sin, meaning that minor sin will turn into a major sin. So the Salaf, they used to say, do not look at the weight of the sin, but rather look at the greatness of the one you are disobeying. Look at the greatness of the one you are disobeying. And maybe somebody could be consider something light, and in reality it's very heavy. And the likes like this. And also maybe somebody, he will fall into something very heavy, but or even something light, but because of the way that he honors and magnifies that affair, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will make it light for him, and he make it easy for him. And maybe somebody will fall into a small sin and consider it major, or he'll fall into a major sin and then he will break down and have great remorse, and this will be a means, yani, for that sin to be removed and be considered light in his scale, alhamdulillah. As for, on the other hand, maybe a person, he'll commit a minor sin, and then he thinks that it's nothing, and because he thinks and he looks at disobedience in this manner, it could be considered more severe in his scale. Wa'iyadhu billah. So the fasiq is the one who is known for committing major sins, or the one who is persisting upon minor sins. He's going to be considered a fasiq. So this chapter here is about the prohibition of considering him a leader and taking him as a head to be followed, and praising him and the likes like this. Somebody who's known to be fasiq, he's known to be corrupt, he's known to be someone who is upon major sin. He's known for this. This is known about him. And then somebody will come along and praise him and glorify him and consider him the leader and the elder and the one to be followed and respected and the likes like this. This is the prohibition here. This is the prohibition here. So for example, the one who was lying, or the one who was backbiting, and it's known that he's upon that way and he has not repented. And we have seen that lying is different categories. Lying on Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is from the greatest of that. And following along with that in severity, lying on the scholars, or lying to the scholars, or lying about the scholars, and the likes like this. And either this person here, then he's considered fasiq. So to consider him yani great and to be a leader, this is the prohibition here. This is the prohibition here. Or likewise backbiting. Likewise backbiting, which is the next chapter. And backbiting has different levels likewise according to the one who the crime is against. And backbiting the rulers and the likes like this, and the Muslim leaders, and backbiting the people of knowledge likewise is more severe than backbiting the layman. So those people who do these crimes here, these are all in the book Al-Kabair. And the one who perpetrates the Kabira, he's considered a fasiq. And from those Kabair is to consider the fasiq, or to call him a Sayyid. Yani al-Ra'is, al-Mu'azzam, to praise him and to raise his status. And to say that he's the good brother, and that he is qualified for this, and that he's good like this. And to praise him, and to mention good about him, while one knows that he is upon major sin. This is a foul way. So the author, he says, عن بريدة مرفوعة رضي الله عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقولوا للمنافق سيد فإنه إن يكو سيد فقد أسخطتم ربكم رواه أبو داود بسند صحيح. So the author, he mentioned the narration of بريدة رضي الله عنه, بريدة بن حسيب radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not say to the hypocrite, Sayyid, that he's a leader. A Sayyid, yani again, meaning he's the leader. He's the one who's praiseworthy. He has traits of goodness, and he should be in the front, and he should be the role model, and he should be the elder, the one who is respected and followed, and the one who his position should be followed and respected, and the likes like this. Do not say this about a person who's considered a munafiq, any the one who was a hypocrite. No doubt if he was considered a hypocrite, yani from the aspect of creed, but likewise we have seen that hypocrisy as well is an aspect of actions. And those people who fall into those major sins, then they have resemblances to the hypocrites. And even certain traits, as has proceeded from these major sins, are specific to the hypocrites, So those people who have them, they should not be considered Sayyid. They should not be considered the leader or the elder, or those people of authority, or those people in charge, or those people who are praiseworthy, or those people who are considered good. It should not be said that. That should not be said about them. And they especially should not be taken in that manner. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because if he is going to be a leader, then now you have made your Lord angry with you. And meaning that if you said that he's a leader, and then he becomes a leader, and he's a fasiq, or he is a munafiq. We see the wording in the narration is munafiq, but the wording in the chapter title is fasiq. Any understanding that is the fasiq, meaning the munafiq, meaning any from deficiency in the religion. The one who has deficiency in the religion, the one who is violating yani the sacred rites of Islam and perpetrating the major sins, to not consider him a leader. Because if he becomes a leader and he is a fasiq in this manner, then you have made Allah angry at you by raising this person who should be lowered. So this likewise is from the major sins. The author, he says, Babu Nahi and al-Halafi bil amana. Babu al-Nahi and al-Halafi bil amana. The chapter with regards to the prohibition of swearing by al-amana. Al-Hadif, yani, is to swear, is to make an oath. It's also known as Al-Qasam. Al-Qasam or Al-Hadif, it has the same meaning, that a person, he will swear. And Al-Hadif, yu'ta bihi li-tawkid al-kalam. Wa li ta'zimi al-mahlufi bihi. A person, he will swear in order to emphasize his statement, and likewise in order to glorify and to magnify the one he's swearing by. So the person who's swearing, he's going to swear by something that is major in his heart, and likewise in the heart of the one who was listening, in order to emphasize his statement. So therefore, it's only allowed to swear by Allah, because nothing should be greater in the heart of a believer than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he wanted to emphasize his statement and bring something to clarify that he's very serious and that he's truthful, then he will only swear by Allah. And this is the order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, لا تحلفوا بآبائكم ولا بأمهاتكم ولا بالأنداد ومن كان حالفا فليحلف بالله. And do not swear by your fathers, nor by your mothers, nor by the idols. And whoever is going to swear, then let him swear by Allah. And some wording is, من كان حالفا فليحلف بالله أو ليصمت. Who's going to swear? Whoever is going to swear, let him swear by Allah. And let him tell the truth. And some wording is likewise, وَلَا تَحْلِفُوا إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ صَادِقُونَ. And do not swear likewise except that you are truthful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has ordered in His book, وَحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ. And to maintain and preserve and uphold your oaths and your swears. So here is a violation of that. Swearing by the amana. Swearing by the amana. The one of them, he will say, he swears by the amana. This is by the trust. And this is just an example. To swear by anything other than Allah Azza wa Jalla likewise is included here. It's not allowed. And it's considered a major sin. And likewise, yani, it's considered minor shirk. And that's the origin with regards to al-harif bighayri Allahi Azza wa Jalla. The one who swears by other than Allah. He swears by his life. Or he swears by his father or his mother. Or he swears by his tribe. Or he swears by this or that, by his life, or by the amana, by the trust. If he swears by anything other than Allah, he swears by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or swears by the Kaaba, the house of Allah azza wa jalla, all of this is impermissible and not allowed and considered minor shirk. Except in the case if he were to deem and to consider the thing he's swearing by equal with Allah in magnification. If his heart magnifies the thing that he's swearing by other than Allah in the manner that he should magnify Allah or greater, then now it becomes major shirk. Then now it becomes major shirk. And this is the case with Iyadu Billah and some of those people who are attached to the graves. And some of those people who are attached to the graves. That one of them, it is known, and the people of knowledge have mentioned in more than one occasion, that one of them, he will swear by Allah while he's lying, and it's easy for him. But then one of his friends will tell him, no, he's lying, swear by the wali, and he will not do it. And he will not do it. And they'll catch him in a lie like this. They'll catch him in a lie. He says, wallahi, I didn't, or wallahi, I did, or wallahi, it's like this. And then one of his friends will know he's lying and say to him, tell him, swear by the wali. And then he'll get scared and he will not do it, lying. He will not swear by the wali except for if he's truthful. So here the magnification and the love and the glorification of the wali in his heart is greater than Allah Azza wa Jal. So in this type of situation, this would be considered major shirk. Wariyadu billah. Wariyadu billah. So this is not allowed here. This is not allowed here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in a narration narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من حلف بغير الله فقد كفر أو أشرك. That whoever swears by other than Allah, then indeed he has disbelieved or he has committed shirk. And so this is the case. And if he simply swore in this manner like this without magnifying that thing greater than Allah, then it's lesser disbelief, meaning a major crime and a major sin. And it's considered minor shirk. وَرِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And if he were to consider it greater than that, then, or equals with Allah in magnification, then this would be considered to be major shirk. So a believer, he will not swear except for by Allah. We have seen likewise in our previous class in Kitab al-Tawheed as well, he will not swear all of the time. And he will not take the name of Allah Azza wa Jal something lightly. And swearing by the name of Allah Azza wa Jal is something that's insignificant, where he's just running off of his tongue all of the time. Wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. He will not do that. Rather, he will swear whenever it's a benefit for him and he needs to emphasize his statement. Whenever he has something that's very important to say, or something that's very serious, or he's called to do that because of bearing witness and testifying, or the likes like this, or the person he was uncertain about the statement. So now he emphasizes what he's saying by swearing by Allah to convince that person that what he's saying is truthful. All of this is good and allowed. Or sometimes to clarify that he's serious. For sometimes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would swear by Allah without any specific reason, just to clarify the dangers of the affair. Wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min. When you hear the likes of this, I swear by Allah he doesn't believe. I swear by Allah he doesn't believe. I swear by Allah he doesn't believe. Like this, to emphasize the speech now, knowing that it's becoming very serious. Knowing that it's becoming very serious. And so this is the case here. One will swear whenever it's needed, or whenever it's called for, or whenever there is a specific benefit for that, and other than that, he will not always swear by Allah Azza wa Jal. Wallahi, 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 like this. This is not from the noble manners. And this is not from the good etiquettes with Allah Azza wa Jal. Rather, this is from having bad manners and taking the name of Allah insignificantly. So in order to magnify Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to al-hadith, first one, he must not swear by anyone except for Allah. And that's what is in this chapter here clarifying. And then likewise, whenever he swears by Allah, he must be truthful. He must be truthful. He must not swear by anyone except for Allah. And whenever he swears by Allah, he must be truthful in that which he swears by. He must be truthful about that which he's swearing by. And likewise, he must not, if he swears by Allah Azza wa Jal, he must not invalidate that as well, without a specific right. And if he did invalidate that, then he would expiate his oath. He would expiate his oath, and he would not leave it without being expiated. He would not make the hint and invalidate his oath without need. And in any case, if he did invalidate it, whether he seen something better to do to break his oath, or whether he fell into that, yani, in deficiency or negligence, he will expiate that oath. He will expiate that oath, yani, if that had occurred. And likewise, if somebody swears to him by Allah about something, then he would accept that from them, and he will not dig any further, unless, of course, it's very clear and he knows with certain proof that that person is lying. All of this here is from the magnification and the glorification of Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to al-hadith. After this, the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, babu an-nahi an al-hadithi bimillati ghayri al-islam. Bimillati ghayri al-islam. The chapter with regards to the prohibition of swearing by a religion other than al-islam. Swearing by a religion other than al-islam. And what is intended here is that a person, one of them, maybe he will say that he will not do this or not do that, or if he did this or he did that, that he will be a Jew or he will be a Christian. For example, he will say, huwa Yahudiyun, or huwa Nasraniyun, or huwa Majusiyun, like this. He will say that he is this or that. In hasala kada wa kada, aw fa'ala kada wa kada, like this. He will say he about himself, he's a Jew if this happened or that happened, or if he did this or if he did that. Like this, this is what is intended here. Or likewise, we'll see who will say that he about himself, he's free from Islam. He's free from Islam if this happened or that happened. Wadiyadhu billah. So this here is all prohibited likewise. And again, taking the affair of the religion lightly and as if it's insignificant. The religion is greater than that. The deen of Allah is greater than that. To be taken as something lightly, somebody will swear by it in this manner like this, or even swearing by Allah all the time, with regards to frivolous matters, and taking this affair lightly. The deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is greater than all of this, and it must be greater in that manner in our hearts likewise. So the author, he says, أنا بزيدٍ رضي الله عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حلف بملة غير الإسلام كاذبا متعمدا فهو كما قال أخرجاه. So the author, he mentions the narration of Abu Zayd, who is Thabit ibn al-Dhahak al-Ansari رضي الله عنه, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that whoever swears by other than the religion of al-Islam while he's lying, that whoever swears by other than the religion of al-Islam while he is lying, and he did that on purpose, then he is as he has mentioned, akhrajahu, meaning that it's narrated by al-Bukhari and Muslim. Wa an Burayda radiyallahu anhu, Ibn Husayb radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man halafa fa qala ana bari'un min al-Islam, fa in kana kadiban fa huwa kama qala. وَإِنْ كَانَ صَادِقًا فَلَنْ يَرْجِعَ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ سَالِمًا رَوَاهُ أَبُو دَاوُودَ. And the author, he mentioned another narration from Burayda ibn al-Husayb also رضي الله عنه, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that whoever swears or takes an oath, and he says that I am free from al-Islam, then if he's lying about it, then it is as he said. And he meaning that he will be like that. Wadiyadhu billah. That he will be free from that. Wadiyadhu billah. And then if he was truthful in that, then he will not return to Islam, yani, safe. Yani meaning that his religion, yani, in this manner, the one who does this, even if he's truthful, this is a sign that the religion is insignificant in his heart, and that the deen is weak in his heart, and the faith is deficient in his heart. So therefore, he will return. Yani he's still a Muslim, but his religion has great deficiency and weakness from taking the affair lightly like this. So what is intended here is that which has preceded, that a person, he will say, أَنَّهُ بَرِيءٌ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِنْ فَعَلَ كَذَا وَكَذَا أَوْ إِنْ كَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا, like this. He's free from al-Islam, that if he did this or he did that, or that if this happened or that happened, like this. And he's lying about that. And he's lying about that. If he said that and he's lying about that, well, he knows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, then it's as he has said. And he did the same thing. And the one that he's a Jew. If he said he's a Jew, that if he did this and he did that, then he's a Jew. And then he did that while he's lying intentionally, then that's the case for him, and Allah knows best. And this is a great threat. Again, and with regards to this affair, a great threat. And with regards to this affair, that the religion is in great danger for a person to take it lightly and to swear in this manner, or that he's free from al-Islam if that happened or this happened. And he's lying and he knows. And he's lying and he knows. If he's serious about that and he's lying and he knows, then no doubt he disbelieved. I mean, if he meant that in his heart, that he's free, or that he's a Jew, or that he's a Christian, like this, and he meant that in his heart, and he's lying, then this is a major disbelief, and Allah knows best. But if he said that, and even while he's lying, but he did not intend that himself, he's just weak in his faith, then the people of knowledge differed about that, whether he disbelieved or whether he had committed a major crime. But the point is now to realize that this is something that is major and that we should not take it lightly. Even if a person, he's truthful, he swears in this manner and he's truthful, his religion is not safe. He will not swear like this. He will not take oaths in this manner like this. Rather, he will say what he needs to say, and if he needs to emphasize that, he'll say, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, like this. And that's enough for him. Or swearing by one of the names of Allah or the attributes of Allah, this is allowed. Other than that, then this is something that is prohibited. The author, he says now, Babu ma ja'a fi al-ghiba. Babu ma ja'a fi al-ghiba. The chapter with regards to that which has come from backbiting. From backbiting. Again, meaning any of the great threat and the warning with regards to that. The clarification that it is from the major sins. A clarification that it is from the major sins. It has been narrated, it has been collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَ أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَ. Do you all know what is ghiba? And then the companions قالوا, they answered radiallahu anhum, اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ عَالَمْ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمْ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah and His Messenger know best. And linguistically and the likes like this, maybe a person is very clear for him. But whenever the Messenger is speaking, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's referring to affairs of the legislation. He's referring to the affairs of the legislation, which is only known by way of revelation. So from the noble manners of the companions, they will not speak first, for then they will say, Allahu wa rasuluhu alam. Allah and His Messenger know best. As for after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we say, Allah knows best. If it's something that we're not certain about or that we do not know, we will say, Allahu alam. Allahu alam. As for in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he's still receiving the revelation, then this was mentioned by the noble companions. And this is from their diligence to learn, and likewise their noble manners as well. And also their humbleness, and that they were not hasty to speak, rather they were diligent to be silent and to learn first, and to speak after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had clarified for them any of the truth and that which is pleasing to Allah azza wa jal. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded to them now. He said, "Dhikruka akhaka bima yakra." Dhikruka akhaka bima yakrah. This is a very beneficial narration, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has defined backbiting very clearly in this narration, so that no one should ever have a misunderstanding. Dhikruka akhaka bima yakrah. Even we should memorize the likes of this narration, at least this portion. Dhikruka akhaka bima yakrah. Just a few numbered words. You can maybe count them on a hand, or at most two hands. Dhikruka akhaka bima yakrahu. that you mention your brother in a manner he does not like. يعني في غيبته. يعني في غيبته. يعني in his absence. That you mention your brother in a manner that he does not like to be mentioned. That he does not like to be mentioned. Mentioning him from any aspect. About his deen, about his religion, about his manners, his conduct, about his build or his physical shape, or about his wealth, or anything that he dislikes. All of this is included here. It's considered backbiting. It's considered backbiting. Although there are some exceptions to this issue that we will discuss inshallah, but this is the origin. To mention your brother in a manner that he dislikes. ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ يَعْنِي فِي غَيْبَتِهِ فِي غَيْبَتِهِ Whenever he's not there. As for mentioning your brother in a manner he doesn't like in his face, then this is called سَبْ وَشَتَمْ. That's what has preceded. السَبْ وَشَتَمْ يعني واللعن, to curse him out and call him names. And in his face, this is called يعني cussing him out and calling him names. Name calling. And the likes like this. As for to do that behind his back, then this one is called الغيبة. 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 So then at this time, قيل له صلى الله عليه وسلم, it was mentioned to him in this narration, أرأيت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن كان في أخي ما أقول. And then he said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if what I say about my brother, meaning behind his back, that which he does not like, what if it's true about him? What if I'm saying that which is true about him? And again, because sometimes whenever one will hear somebody mentioning somebody behind their back or in their absence, mentioning them in a bad light, somebody might say to them, do not backbite the people, backbiting is haram. And then he will say, oh, what I'm saying is true. He's really like that. Yani, as if this is not backbiting. Rather, in reality, this is exactly what is considered backbiting. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنْ كَانَ فِي أَخِيكَ مَا تَكُولْ فَقَدْ اِغْتَبْتَهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ مَا تَكُولْ فَقَدْ بَهَدْتَهُ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if that which you said about your brother was true, then indeed you have made backbiting. And that what you said about your brother was not true, then you have made buhtan, which is more severe. يعني كذبت عليه وافتريت عليه. You lied against him. You fabricated lies against him. So if you said something bad about him and it's true, this is called backbiting. If you said something bad about him and it's not true, this is called buhtan, slandering, and this is more severe. Fabricating lies against him and defaming him in that manner. So this is a major sin. So therefore, this is something that a believer, he must be aware of and be cautious from. And some people, this is the faqiha of their gathering. The faqiha, the fruit, the most delicious portion of their gatherings is to speak ill of others and to backbite them. So the author, he says, بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي الْغِيبَةِ. The chapter about that which has come, with regards to backbiting. وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, and do not backbite one another. And do not backbite one another. Al-ayah. And the ayah continues, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of your brother while he's dead? Indeed, you would dislike that. And meaning, so the same way that someone, he would dislike to eat the flesh of his brother while he's dead, and then from his dead body. This is something disgusting and detestful to him and filthy and in his heart, in his mind. To even think about that, then likewise, you should consider it the same way, backbiting. And you should consider that likewise disgusting and filthy. And you should avoid it in the same manner. And just as that would be considered a major sin, likewise, backbiting him in the same manner is considered a major sin. So the author, he says, عن أبي بكرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في خطبته يوم النحر. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Bakra radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in his khutbah on the day of An-Nahr, Yom An-Nahr. What is the day of Nahr? Which day is that? Eid al-Adha. It's also known as Yom Al-Hajj Al-Akbar, the day of Eid. On the day of Eid, this is in Hajjat Al-Wada'a, and the farewell pilgrimage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this particular Hajj, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave many sermons, many khutab, a number of them, and many of them clarifying the rights, the sacred rights of the Muslims, and mentioning the great pillars of Al-Islam, and likewise the of faith, and mentioning the sacred rights of Al-Islam, and the manners of the religion, and also the great rights of the believers one upon the other, and a number of narrations, different sermons that he gave sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that were brief yet concise and full of great benefit, clarifying the fundamentals and the foundations of the religion, and likewise the great sacred rights of the religion, as well as the clarifying the noble manners and etiquettes of Al-Islam, and encouraging that, and also clarifying the sacredness and the status of the Muslim blood and the Muslim honor, and that they are brothers one to another. And this is an example of that in this narration. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to them in Hajjat al-Wada, on the day of Eid, which is known as Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar, yani the greatest day of Hajj, yani this is in a great congregation. In a great congregation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَيُّ شَهْرٍ هَذَا. He said, which month is this? فَسَكَتْنَا حَتَّى ظَنَنَّا أَنَّهُ سَيُسَمِّيهِ بِغَيْرِ اسْمِهِ. So Abu Bakrata radiallahu anhu, he says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to them in this khutbah, which month is this? And then we were silent until we thought that he's going to call it by a new name. He was going to name it by another name. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him about which month it was. فَقَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أَلَيْسَ ذَا الْحِجَّةِ. And they were silent again. They didn't respond. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, is it not the month of Al-Hijjah, ذَا الْحِجَّةِ? And they said, قَالُوا بَلَى. They said, of course. ذُو الْحِجَّةِ is from Al-Ashhur Al-Hurum. It's from the sacred months. Dhul Hijjah is from the sacred months. The sacred months, Dhul Qa'dah, wa Dhul Hijjah, wa Muharram, wa Rajab. And one of those months, we are in them now. Which month is that? Rajab. We're in a sacred month now. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's drawing their attention to something. What month is this? And they're silent, thinking that maybe he's going to change the name. Maybe he received revelation, for example, and the names of the month were going to change. They're thinking like this, and they're silent. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, is it not Dhul Hijjah? And they said, of course, it's Dhul Hijjah. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, فَأَيُّ بَلَدٍ هَذَا. What city, what land is this? What land is this? Again, he says, فَسَكَتْنَا حَتَّى ظَنَنَّا أَنَّهُ سَيُسَمِّيهِ بِغَيْرِ اسْمِهِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, what land is this? And then he said, we were silent again, until we thought that he's going to call it by another name. And he may be that there's revelation that he's receiving. And they're not aware of this affair. So they're silent. Radiallahu anhum. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, فَقَالَ أَلَيْسَ بَلَدَ اللَّهِ الْحَرَامِ. Is this not the land of Allah al-Haram? Yani meaning Mecca. They're in Mecca, which is the sacred land. Likewise, isn't this land sacred? Are not we in the land of Allah, the sacred land of Al-Haram, meaning in Mecca? فَقُلْنَا بَلَى. So they said, of course. قَالَ فَأَيُّ يَوْمٍ هَذَا. So then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so what day is this? He said, فَسَكَأْنَا حَتَّى ظَنَنَّا أَنَّهُ سَيُسَمِّيهِ بِغَيْرِ اسْمِهِ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what day is this? And he said they were silent. They did not say anything. Again, of their noble manners. And also, any the haybah that they have, and the reverence and the respect that they have in front of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not one of them would dare to speak or say anything. Rather, they're silent, waiting for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to respond and to clarify. And then they thought, until the extent they thought maybe he will call it by another name. فَقَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أَلَيْسَ يَوْمَ النَّحْرِ. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this not the day of slaughtering? And he to remind them here, this is an introduction. All of this now is an introduction. And this is also from the beautiful teaching of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that sometimes you don't just go straight into the affairs, but rather before that, You make introductions to draw the attention and to open the heart and to cause the mind to reflect and to ponder in order for the knowledge to sink in and for the person to truly benefit. So he asked them about the month, and they realized that it is Dhul-Hijjah, the sacred month. He asked them about the land, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they're in Mecca, the sacred land. They asked them about the day. He asked them about the day, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, on this day, this is from the most sacred day, from the days of Al-Islam. And then the narration continues. So after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked him about which day is this, and then he informed them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alaysa yawm an-nahr, is this not the day of slaughtering, meaning the day of Eid? And they said, qulna bala, they said, of course, this is the day. So now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions the point and the admonition. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم فإن دماءكم وأموالكم وأعراضكم عليكم حرام كحرمة يومكم هذا في شهركم هذا في بلدكم هذا. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to them now that indeed your blood and your wealth and your reputations, this is the shahid for the chapter, and your reputations is sacred upon you, like the sacredness of this day of yours, in this month of yours, in this land of yours. So this is a great clarification and a beautiful methodology. So just as the day that they're in, and the month that they're in, and the land that they're in is sacred to them, and they know the sacredness of that, and the land itself is sacred, and the month itself is sacred, and the day itself is sacred, and they're all in this same place and same time at one time. So just as this day is sacred that you are in now, and the month that you're in, and the land that you're in, all of this is gathered now in the same manner, your blood is sacred likewise from each other. It's sacred, it's impermissible, it's haram, it's not allowed to violate that. Something that is considered sacred, meaning it must be honored. It must be respected. It must be held in high regards. It must be protected. It must not be violated. It must not be disrespected. It must not. It's not. It must not be taken lightly. It must not be considered insignificant. It's something that is sacred. Something that is sacred is like this. Something that is sacred is like this, and it must have magnification. It must have respect. It must have honor. So the same way that you honor and respect and have magnification for this day and this month and this land, then likewise, your blood, it must be honored, it must be magnified, it must be kept, it must be respected, it must be kept safe, it must not be violated. It must not be violated. And likewise your wealth, and likewise your reputation. So the reputation of a believer is something that is major. It's not allowed to violate his reputation or to defame him, yani unlawfully, without right, and the likes like this. This is something that is considered major, and this is the point of the narration. This is the point of the narration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَسَتَلْقَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ فَيَسْأَلُكُمْ عَنْ عَمَالِكُمْ. And indeed you're going to meet your Lord, and He's going to ask you about your actions. أَلَا فَلَا تَرْجِعُوا بَعْدِي كُفَارًا يَضْرِبُ بَعْضُكُمْ رِقَابَ بَعْضٍ. And then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, do not turn after me as disbelievers, striking each other on your necks. And he meaning fighting one another. Many fighting one another. So this likewise here is a great threat. Yani meaning that this is from the actions of the disbelievers. It's the disbelievers. They're the ones who strike the necks of the believers with swords. They're the ones who fight and harm and try to defame or kill or injure the believers. This is not something the believers they do. So this is a clarification of that. Likewise, that it's a major sin. But what is not intended is that the one who fights a believer is considered disbelief. This is not considered disbelief. Rather, it is lesser than that. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He clarified this in His book. And although it's a major sin, and that's what is intended here. وَلَا تَرْجِعُ بَعْدِي كُفَارًا يَضْرِبُ بَعْضُكُمْ رِقَابَ بَعْضٍ. Do not turn after me as disbelievers fighting one another. And he's striking each other in the neck, yani with the sword. And they meaning fighting one another. So what is intended here likewise is a reprimand and a warning. That this is a major sin. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اِقْوَتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If two parties from the believers fight one another, then rectify between them. They rectify between them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed in this verse that there may be two parties from believers fighting against one another. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about Al-Hasan, أَنَّهُ سَيُصْلِحُ بَيْنَ طَائِفَتَيْنِ عَظِيمَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That Hasan is going to rectify and bring reconciliation between two great parties of believers. And this was the party of Ali and Muawiyah radiyallahu and the Sahabati Ajma'een. He rectified between them. So this is the case. It's possible that Muslims will fight one another, and this is a major sin, and this is a great failure and loss, but it's not major disbelief. It's not major disbelief. And this is the case here. This is the point here. Likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal, He said in His book, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَ الْحُرُّ بِالْحُرِّ وَالْعَبْدُ بِالْعَبْدِ وَالْعُنْثَ وَالْعُنْثَ بِالْعُنْثَ فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَدَاءٌ إِلَيْهِ بِإِحْسَانٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in the law of qisas, the law of Allah azza wa jal in murder, that the one who is a freed man for a freed man, a slave for a slave, a female for a female, like this. Yani that one who somebody takes the life of another, then his life will be taken. This is the law of qisas with Allah azza wa jal. But then Allah, He clarified, if this happened, فَمَنْ أُوْفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ, that if his brother pardoned him, yani from that. So here the point is now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has affirmed that possibly maybe one person will kill another one. And that He called the one who was killed the brother of the killer, the brother of the murderer. And maybe there's a murderer. فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ. So any of you who his brother has pardoned him, meaning if the brother or the relatives yani pardon the one who killed, then they should follow that, and they should pay the blood money, which is rightful. The point is now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the family of the murdered, the brother of the murderer, meaning that they're brothers in Islam. So the fact that He called him a brother is an indication that the Islam is still established. The point is to clarify and to refute a great misunderstanding and a great doubt of the Khawarij today, that yani some of them have, that fighting another Muslim is considered major disbelief. And that's not the case. Rather, it's affirmed in the Quran and the Sunnah that possibly a Muslim will fight another Muslim. And no doubt this is a major sin, and this is blameworthy, but it is not major disbelief, and does not take them out of Islam. Out of Islam, and Allah knows best. So to not misunderstand this. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ala, fal yubaligh shahidu, minkum al-ghaib." So indeed, let the one who is witnessing this and who has attended this gathering inform the one who was absent. فَلَعَلَّ بَعْضَكُمْ مَنْ يَبْلُغُهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَوْعَى مِمَّنْ سَمِعَهُ. Because indeed, possibly some of you have heard this, and maybe you will, maybe it will reach somebody else, and they will have more understanding than the one who listened, and the one who heard it. Meaning possibly, maybe somebody will hear a particular benefit and then transmit it to somebody else who will understand it better than him. Maybe a person, he will hear a benefit, or he will read a benefit, or he'll hear a narration or a verse in the Quran, and he will transmit that to someone after him who will have a greater understanding. He'll be able to derive more benefits and lessons from that than he himself. And we continue in the class to come, inshallah. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.